I'm so happy to have my next guest back with me. His name is Chris Farrell. He spent much of his professional life reporting and writing on economics and helping people make the most of their money. He's currently senior economics editor, or contributor rather, to Marketplace, American Public Media's nationally syndicated public radio business and personal finance programs. And he's also contributing editor, and he writes for Bloomberg Businessweek. He's got a new book, and it turns the current thinking about retirement on its head, contradicts a lot of the doom and gloomers about the state of retirement in America. And I've been speaking about this for a really long time, only Chris is much smarter than me, and he's written it all down. So to help us, the book is Unretirement, How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. Hey, Chris, welcome back to the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So, you know, there's only one other writer I know that makes up words. Nassim Taleb, who wrote The Black Swan, called his last book Anti-Fragile. You're calling yours Unretirement. Aren't there enough words in the English language for you two guys? Why do you have to make up words? Anyway, what is unretirement?
So unretirement, we're trying to come up with a word. Unretirement, there's also, you've probably heard encore careers, third age, next chapter, next act. Mm-hmm. It's this rethinking of the last half, the last third of life. And it's about finding both meaning and money. And it's not about retiring, where you just stop working and you pursue leisure.
Yeah.
It's about staying engaged. It's about continuing to earn an income, which, by the way, has a dramatic impact on household finances. Just dramatic impact. But it's also this realization that, you know, if you're going to be working, you want to make a difference. You want to leave a legacy. You want to do something that you're really proud of. So there's this really rethinking about the opportunity that is out there because we're living longer and we're healthier and we're more educated and we should stop whining about it and take advantage of it.
You'll never get baby boomers to stop whining, but that's a different story. You know, years and years ago when Social Security was created, and I don't know this as a fact, but I've often heard that, you know, they weren't thinking people obviously were going to be living this long. So when you went to retire, you know, you knew you had, you know, kind of limited time left and you kind of took it easy and that was it. You got your gold watch and moved on. Today, really, so many people are living so much longer. They got to figure out what to do with the rest of their lives, this new chapter. As a matter of fact, Pew Research says that there's 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day. What have these predictions, in your view, of this gloom and doom, what have they failed to consider here?
One thing that they fail to consider is just how educated people are and how healthy they are. And if you actually look at the numbers, we use the word retirement because we don't know what other word to use. But depending on which database you're looking at, and as you know, the databases show different things. But 2004, about 60%, 65% of the people who quote-unquote retired, they had some kind of bridge job, some kind of part-time job. There's a lot of people in the evidence, and it's in the numbers, where you retire, and then within 2 years, you unretire. And what it turns out, what a lot of people really want, they want a vacation. They want a really long vacation.
Yeah, they want to take a break and kind of detach themselves from this 30-year life that they've had at work and figure out something new. But they need a break in order to do that.
They need a break, but the other thing is they also need a break from the reward system that they've been living in, the incentives that they've been living in. You know, you got to kind of move away from your colleagues. You have to kind of think about, what is it that I really want to be doing? What is it that really motivates me? And you don't have to care anymore whether or not you're invited to a meeting or you're not invited to a meeting. Am I being passed over? You know, that just sort of fades into your past. So I think, you know, people should give themselves a little bit of a break here in the sense of, yes, go ahead, quote unquote, retire. But realize that what that means is an opportunity to figure out something else to do.
You know, in your book, you talk about the value of work. And one of the values that you mention is this idea that you're networking with other people, you feel included, and it's kind of a second family in so many ways. And so the idea of being laid off or being out of work is one that's just, you know, just not the money struggle, but the fact that now you're kind of an outsider and it's hard to adjust. Now, when you retire, wouldn't someone also go through those same kind of emotions?
Right. I was out in Phoenix last week and that came up. I was giving a talk and it was out in a multi-generational community that's being built in Phoenix. And 70, 80 people. And it was a really interesting conversation. And it just echoed what you're saying. And it was sort of like, you know, it's wonderful. There's this really an incredible feeling. You can have a cocktail at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. This is like really something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start realizing that no one cares whether you have one at 3 or you have one at 11. And, you know, why are you getting up? And what is it you're going to do during the day?
Yeah.
And it's not just that people don't have imaginations and they don't have a lot of things to do with grandkids and other pursuits. It's just what you were saying. It's about, here's some meaning, here's some purpose, here's a community, here are colleagues. I was just looking at a survey, and it was a survey of 300 people in ages 55 to 75 who are retired. Two-thirds of them, what they mainly missed about work was the connection with colleagues. That was the number one thing. 15% was money. So that really emphasizes, I think, that work is this social institution. It helps to give purpose. It helps to give meaning. And when you really boil it down, don't you think that, you know, when it comes to life, it's about meaning. It's about having purpose. It's about having fulfillment. And what the unretirement is, it adds a paycheck in there.
The book is Unretirement, How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. You know, a lot of our music idols are still working. You know, Paul McCartney is still very active, and the Stones and others. It's another kind of leading edge example of continuing, you know, what you're passionate about in the new life you're creating. You give some examples in your book. Take us through one or two of those.
So the point that I'm really trying to emphasize here is that when you say, you know, older worker, people get very dismissive. Oh, they're not creative. Oh, they're not productive. They're stuck in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at some of the people like you mentioned. I just recently went to the concert with Paul McCartney, and he's still writing new songs. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight it. If you look at Matisse, you know, the great artist, he was doing his best work in his 80s. And I was just talking to a group, Your Encore, out in Indianapolis. And it's a lot of research scientists and people who are deeply involved in marketing, all kinds of skills at big corporations. And they're now sort of on call with some big corporations to deal with projects. And the whole message was that they're incredibly creative. They're really great problem solvers. They're really engaged. And they're removed from a lot of the corporate stuff about your advancement and worrying about where you are in the pecking order and all those kinds of things. And they just come in and they're just solving problems and they're engaged. And so what's really important is an aging population. You know, there's almost this image. You probably looked at the Wall Street forecast. There's kind of this image of the economy is going to be like, just like it does get a little harder to get up out of a chair.
Yeah, the economy is going to suffer.
Knees creak, the back hurts a little bit. That's what the economy is going to be like. Yeah. No. It's, the economy is going to be really creative and vibrant because of older workers.
I want to get back to this network question because
I
often on this show, I'll say the 10 best places to retire. And it's always a function of, you know, the cost of living and access to good health care and good culture and the like. But I think you say in the book that maybe a lot of people are not going to move to these places necessarily unless, you know, they want to get out of the cold or something because of the network, because they've built up all of these years and all of these contacts, and they probably just want to kind of stay where they are.
If you think of what is the most valuable asset of an older worker, it is their network, their colleagues, their friends, and then the sort of, what, second and third degree of separation. And more than 50% of all jobs come through a network reference. And that's pretty well documented. There's a lot of research along those lines.
It's who you know.
So it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's also who you know also really helps with age discrimination. Age discrimination is real.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're coming in as just a number and they figure out you're 63, and you know that is going to be a knock against you. I mean, technically, no, and everyone will deny it, but we all know that's true. But when your network, they don't care that you're 63. They know what you can do. They know who you are. They know about your capabilities. So, you know, we have this traditional image of retirement. It's when you retire, you say goodbye to your colleagues for the last time, you leave where you're living, and you go to Arizona or Florida or, you know, you go someplace.
Yeah.
But what you've left behind is your most valuable asset, your network.
If you're going back into the workforce and now millennials, these 25 to 30 something year olds are starting to get into the workforce and making their stamp on the world, is the fact that under your scenario, retirees are staying longer in the workforce, is that a negative thing for millennials? Does that make moving up the ladder harder, or is there some other dynamic?
Not really, because if you look at the economy is an expanding pie. And the analogy that I would draw, because this is a legitimate concern, but here's the analogy I would draw. If you look at the women's movement, and we went back to the early 1980s, there were lots of articles written just along those lines. You know, more women coming to the workforce, it's going to be less job opportunities
for men.
Mm-hmm. Right? That was the story that was out there. We know that's wrong. The economy got bigger. Mm-hmm. The economy got more dynamic. It got more competitive. So basically, older workers and younger workers, they had the same stake. When the job market is healthy, they both benefit. When the job market is bad, they both get hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fundamental story. It is not a story of competition for scarce resources or scarce slots. And remember this, there are a lot of workers, and this is a forecast, but over the next 3 years, here's my bet, that a lot of the baby boomers who have been afraid to leave their job are going to leave their job because they're tired of doing more with less, and they've got some other idea of what they want to do, and they're going to leave their company, and they're going to go start their own company, or they're going to come up with some sort of part-time employment or some sort of contract work. But there's going to be a massive shift out of corporations, and we're going to be shifting to a story. We'll be having a conversation in 3 years from now about how do you keep the older workers on staff, not how do you get rid of them.
Yeah, that would really be a switch, wouldn't it?
I mean,
a lot of this is kind of myths that have built up in society that may have been true at one time or may have had kernels of truth at one time. But really, with the way society changes, they really haven't been updated to reflect current conditions. My guest is Chris Farrell. He is the senior economics contributor at Marketplace. We all know Marketplace and love Marketplace, American Public Media's nationally syndicated public radio business program. And he's also contributing editor for Bloomberg Businessweek. He's got a book called Unretirement, How the Baby Boomers are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. Just remember, Unretirement. And if you're, you know, approaching this part of your life, this is a book you really want to get, or if someone you love is doing the same. What are some of the tools, Chris, or strategies that people can start to use to figure out how to unretire? What's important here?
Okay, so you talk a lot about retirement planning and the importance of planning, that you just don't head into this period of life without some kind of a plan.
Yeah, we do a lot.
Savings.
Do a lot of that.
So that is really critical. Mm-hmm. But I think what this shifts your focus from, so savings, don't get me wrong, absolutely critical, but there are some other factors that come into play. What do you want to do next? What is it? And you know what? It takes a while to figure that out. And, you know, do you want to go from the for-profit sector to the not-for-profit sector? Do you want to go into government? Do you want to go from government into the for-profit sector? Do you want to start your own company? What is it that's really going to motivate you? What is it that's going to really kind of, you know, get you an income, but also get you excited? What are your skills? What can you bring to a different sector of the economy?
Yeah.
And it's also, as I said, you know, as you were talking earlier, it's about nurturing your network. And then once you figure something out, it's gathering the information. Do you need some skills? Do you need some additional education?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going back to school, right?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, a lot of the schooling is you're not going back to get a PhD. You're not going back for 6 years, but you're going back to get a certificate.
Yeah, I
talked to one woman, and it was really interesting. She had been in the for-profit sector. She had worked 25 years at Saatchi & Saatchi, had a good career. And then what she ended up doing was getting a certificate, a one-year certificate in the nonprofit sector. I think it was in grant writing. It was something along those lines.
Sure.
But it really exposed her to the language of the nonprofit sector, some of the things that were important to the nonprofit sector. And it really helped her when she made her transition into the nonprofit sector to understand what kind of job she wanted.
Yeah, and there's some ancillary money there for nonprofits. They need grant writers. You know, I'm a head of one nonprofit here in the area, and, you know, we need a grant writer, and we've got one, and, you know, we pay that person, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when we do retirement planning, and we put in all of these different variables, and we put in savings and rates of return and all that, the one variable that we put in that moves the needle the most towards having enough money in retirement is working longer. And I think the reason is that not only are you bringing in extra money, but you're not accessing your resources as early. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, you're not accessing your resources early, so your money continues to compound for a longer period of time. For I bet for most of your clients, even if they're just making, you know, a small part-time income, that dwarfs what they're going to make even in a good year like last year on 2013 in their 401k or their IRA. And it allows you to delay filing for Social Security. And, you know, the difference between filing at age 62 versus age 70 is about a 75% difference there.
Yeah, it's big.
So it's really big. And the other thing, I don't know how to, you know, put this gently, but the fact is you have to live off your savings for a shorter period of time.
Yeah. Okay. So you get it from both.
So there are four good reasons.
That's the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is you're going to do better. The bad news is, well, not that long.
Exactly.
My guest, of course, Chris Farrell, and his book is Unretirement, and it's how baby boomers are changing. The baby boomers are always changing everything. I mean, you know, fairly from the beginning we've been kind of a change generation. And I guess that's continuing through the present time. And it's a mistake to forget. We didn't all kind of get stupid and get lazy all at once for some reason.
No, and the other thing is Joseph Coughlin, he's the head of the MIT Age Lab, and he calls it the Baby Boomer Retirement Improv Act. This is an improv act, and there's a lot of experimentation going on, and it's unclear how this unfolds. But the real beneficiary of this period of experimentation, this improv act, are the 20-somethings, because by the time they're 50 in their 50s and their 60s, it's going to be a lot clearer what works, how to think about this last stage of life.
Okay.
And it also means it opens up a lot of flexibility and freedom in their lifetimes about thinking about their careers. Because if you are going to be working longer, well, you can kind of try different things. You can do a little more experimentation. And so I think it's actually a very liberating moment. It is freedom to the people. It's just that it's going to take a while to figure this one out.
So stay positive and try not to harp and concentrate too much on the doom and gloom. Chris Farrell, once again, thank you so much for joining us. It's a great book. Unretirement is
thank
the
you.
Name. Thank you so much.